I'm back, baby. It is. It feels like a Monday because it's my first day back to work, but it's actually Saturday morning, April 25th, 2015. We got a packed house. A couple of our new contributors, recent contributors to the blog. Welcome, everybody. I'm gonna introduce you by name. Alicia Cox the Wolf.
Yep. Hello. Whatever you want it to be.
That's right. That's what I love about you. Mrs. Grumpy Pants, Kim Smith is here.
Good morning, Coster.
Paul Morrison, deep in his fancy new MacBook. You would think it's a MacBook Air, but it's the new MacBook, and it's the same size as a MacBook Air.
Oh, wow.
He is hip and happy. Where's your Apple Watch? I mean, you disappointed me. You don't have that yet. Mr. Apple guy.
First, before I speak, I'm going... The last time I did one of these things, I sounded like a whiny. So now I've changed my voice, and I'm going to be John Wayne the entire day. So you better watch your step, Pilgrim, or I'm going to shoot you where you sit.
There you go. All right. And we have... Mr. James Eves,
the
biggest, hugest development to Good Morning Gloucester
in the entire history of the world,
in the history of time,
not since the wheel. Such advances.
It's true. The KFAN Arts Calendar, Mr. Eves, welcome today, KFAN G Clay, and Mr. Effervescent, Toby Pett.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Let's get down to some business. Okay, first off, the Harbor Walk cleanup tomorrow, 10 a.m. Can you want to talk about it a little bit?
Sure, we're going to go through the garden, clean up all the garbage. I've already removed some shopping carts and such.
What time? 10 a.m.
10 a.m. And we'll be cutting, raking, and scooping things up and putting them in either trash or lawn and leaf bags.
Well, I was driving by I-4C2 yesterday, and I saw that it looked like the lot had been scraped clean. But did anything that got blown into the brush is still there? Is that what happened? Pretty much. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that'll be a good thing for people to come out and help.
We would love your help if you can support. That would be awesome. Yeah. I'll bring the donuts.
You didn't bring any donuts this morning, but you got to bring them for the cleanup, people.
Yeah. Well, pancakes.
Pancakes. Because I could have brought them this morning.
I see that. She could have. All right. So also, let's talk about Safathi. It's really exciting. First thing in America. So what happened yesterday? You covered that for Safathi.
So yesterday it was pretty awesome. There was Safathi was honored by a group of gentlemen from Sicily who wanted to honor her as Gloucester's first Sicilian American woman mayor.
And so who put this tour together? Because it was like a tour de force all over the place. The Causeway, Cafe Sicilia.
Safathi put it together along with this Sicilian American club, which I can't pronounce the name.
Yeah,
It's named after the Italian soccer team.
Sure.
Of Ventes or something like that. Anyway, so it was tremendous. And also she had... people from Gloucester Sicilian American community there as well, from different areas of Sicily to represent.
Very nice.
Anyways, it was just fantastic. So the one part that was really exciting also was going to the Cape Ann Museum, because a lot of the people, whether they were from Gloucester, had not been there since they were like in third grade or eighth grade.
I hear this all the time.
Right. And they just, it was just such a wonderful eye-opener, and everybody just really enjoyed the museum, whether they were from Sicily or from Gloucester. And it was really, Rhonda Falloon did a tremendous job touring us. Also,
You had the head cheese giving you the Safathi pulls in the big guns. She didn't have some minion give you the tour. Rhonda Falloon, the executive director of the museum gave you the tour. I happened to be there yesterday as well at the Cape Ann Museum. And that story that you brought up, that all these people went there for the first time and it was like eye opening. This is a recurring theme with Cape Ann Museum. I think when we were younger, were you Gloucester when you were in grade school?
Yes.
Did you go through? Was that part of your?
Yes, and up until middle school.
Up until middle school,
yeah.
They take you through.
Yep.
And then a lot of people from that time, like 20, 30 years ago, have not been through, back through.
And if I haven't been since then.
And you have to go.
You absolutely
have to go. It's unbelievable
little,
gem.
It's a world-class little gem right here.
Right.
I mean,
it is great.
The exhibits are just beautifully, beautifully displayed. They're so informative. The part that the Sicilian gentleman really enjoyed also was all the history imbued. So even though they dropped the name Cape Ann Museum and Historical, it is still just chock full of history. Even like this beautiful wooden cart that was used around Gloucester is identical to ones that they still use today in Sicily. So it was really...
We went for the Folly Cove designer exhibit yesterday, and the girls did some block printing.
Wow.
And
we're so blessed to have...
But honestly, you just said, that theme of the people from Gloucester that went in there and were like, oh my God.
Oh my God. And that's...
Every person that goes... Alicia, you go there tomorrow? I guarantee you...
Right.
I'll give you double your money back if you aren't like, oh,
I'm sure.
You'll think you're in a world-class museum in any major city.
No question.
So. And then also we had an awesome time at the Causeway.
So I saw your pictures.
The Causeway was like,
hilarious.
The food was
over the top.
They had set up one big, huge, long table of 30 people, and it was just like...
Peter always does a great job.
Just loading on.
That's one of those restaurants in Gloucester, like... Right. That you see that you see the Yelp reviews or the TripAdvisor reviews, and like the people are from they travel 2 hours specifically to go there.
You can't touch it if you're local. There was a line at noon. There's a line out the door.
That's why mostly in the summer I'll go for lunch because you can't touch it for hours if you're for dinner. So if you're smart, you go right when they open, 11:30, and you do lunch. Yeah, exactly. Like
I don't even bother that. I go like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, only in the winter, because the rest of the year I just assume that's the
no. It always is. No, it is
bananas.
Always.
Yeah, that's a testament to how good a job they're doing.
And we saw Wicked Tuna guys there too.
Yeah,
they were having lunch. Dave Carrara and Paul
Hebert.
Yeah.
I saw your pictures.
Yeah.
And it looked like all the pictures, there's a bunch of pictures of this group of people.
Right.
All Sicilians or Sicilian Americans.
Right.
There's one guy in the middle of every photo, and he's got a vunja on his face. And if you don't know what a vunja is in Sicilian, it's a scowl. He's got to look like he ate a case of lemons in every single photo. This guy, I don't know if that's his move, and he's like the brooding Mediterranean guy. I don't know what his deal is, but look back at your photos, and he's got like the goatee.
What was that word?
Vunja.
Vunja.
Like phonetically, like it's V O.
Like
it's most
like for kids.
What's
the matter? I got Vunja.
Vunja.
Almost like a duck face.
It's like this. It's like this.
People
like
would come up to you and say, "What's with the Vunja face?"
Yeah,
you know? Vunja face.
You know.
Yeah.
This guy, it was the ultimate Vunja face.
I'll have to ID him.
Tag him on your Facebook page or whatever the hell they call that.
I'm sure he's going to love that.
Vunja man.
Whatever, they don't listen to that.
Well, we got so many compliments on that post.
Wonderful post.
The post is circulating all around Sicily. Because I put a direct link.
Worldwide, baby. That's what we do.
The world.
We took over with the calendar. Calder and Kim's post. Oh, thank goodness. Mayor's poll on the block parties. Did everybody vote?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I thought the post was I thought the poll was flawed, and I don't. God forbid we criticize anything, and I don't mean to. I think that there should have been other options. It was one or the other.
Like every
you got two options. You should have had like three or four options.
It was every
the two options was twice a month or.
Yes.
Or every weekend.
Right.
Oh, God.
And I didn't think either one of those, I would have done either one of those options. I would have done...
Once a month.
And I don't know if I would have done June, but July, August, September, for sure. Maybe June.
Every weekend would have been... It's way too...
So wait. Let's hear from everybody how they voted, if you voted.
Twice a month.
I voted for every weekend, and that was after talking to merchants and restaurant owners on Main Street. So I voted for every weekend.
More better, I think.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Nice, Paul.
Twice.
I voted twice only because...
You didn't have the option for once.
I didn't have the option for once a month.
Yeah.
I think it gets played out once it's every weekend, and then it's not going to be as big and as fun. And if you do something like that every weekend, it's just going to get.
As part of the as a founder of the block parties and speaking to a lot of people, what we didn't anticipate in the beginning, and but you quickly come to realize is that downtown is not just the restaurants and the retailers. There's right. also a lot of other businesses there. So to shut mm-hmm. down the whole street every single weekend.
Saturday at 5 o'clock.
Believe it or not, really? Some people have a problem with this, and we would hear it as block party organizers. Yeah. And also there's also police and fire and other things mm-hmm. that have to be paid for. Mm-hmm. And those downtown merchants don't like to pay for things particularly. Mm-hmm. So they would ask the city to pay for it. I know the city isn't. My guess is mm-hmm. that the city is not going to want to pay for these details every single weekend. Right. So I don't know that it would work. Yeah. Maybe they know something. Maybe mm-hmm. Safathia has juice and she could get these guys to do it for nothing. But I don't think the police mm-hmm. and fire department do much no. of anything for nothing. They work hard on their own. They shouldn't have to do it for nothing.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So I don't know. I mean, I think you can always tweak things. I think that the latest incarnation of the Block Party Committee with Mark McDonough, they understood like the whole theory. They got to quick education on the no good deed should go unpunished, where you're doing all this work and people, that's all they want to do is criticize you. So
right.
whoever's in charge, whatever they decide, just get behind them. And if you're not helping out, keep your criticisms. Get out of the way or help. Don't, you know, either way.
So when are they going to decide how often it's going to be?
She's already decided. She put up.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she put up something and said that I think they were going to do it twice a month, and they're going to do something in Lanesville also, and one other, Magnolia.
Magnolia, I think Lexington.
Yeah, so one event in Magnolia, one event in Lanesville. Because she said the...
So the twice a month, is it twice a month and the other ones? Or
yeah, twice a month and the other ones. Uh-huh. And because she said that the poll was pretty evenly divided.
Oh,
that
interesting.
That's what I read. I might have read it either on the city's website or on Facebook. I can't remember where I read it, but that was the conclusion to the poll.
Well, she must have felt pretty confident to put that poll out there that they could do it every week. She must have felt pretty confident that they could get the funding to do it.
She really
but the restaurants, it cost a lot of money. It's not cheap to put these things on anymore.
Well, when I spoke to, for example, when I spoke to Eric, he loves the idea of doing it every Saturday.
Yeah, but there's 8 restaurants. There's a lot of other retailers right. That were being asked to pitch in, I believe. I could be wrong. But I think that when we did the block parties, we asked for zero money. We did not. We did it that it was going to be volunteer based. The bands were not being paid and stuff like that. And that model was not sustainable. It was great that we pulled it off for 2 years while I was on the committee, and that was our premise. Everything had to pass the litmus test of fun, free. It was 3 F's: free, right. fun, and something else.
Huh.
But
good idea.
But that proved our you can't ask bands to just play for free.
Right.
Artists can't pay for
right.
free all
right.
the time.
Right.
So anyway, so
right.
it'll be interesting to see how they go.
Yeah.
And
I'm
everything
so
else.
Excited for them anyway.
They're always great.
They're wonderful. I mean, it's so wonderful just to be able to eat outdoors on the sidewalk. Al fresco, that's my favorite part. I mean, it's just wonderful.
Well,
to do that.
You know, that's great, but the ABCC, the Alcohol Beverage Control Commission, they have to give the city permission to extend the license, the premises. You know, it's complicated. It's not just.
I think you can make things more complicated than they have to be, and I don't think they need to be. For example, like when we were doing it, we had to go every time for every block party. They had to go and go get the permit again, to extension of permit, instead of just doing 4 for the whole year and saying okay.
Oh, for each one.
You have to go, and these restaurant people. Alicia, is there anything more time consuming than running a restaurant?
No.
No. Okay. So
nothing in the world.
For the owner to sit through, like you know, the once a month. liquor licensing board thing and have to go every month and sit there and listen to
all the
other things before they get to you at the end of the night.
It's tough.
Well, you know, I think they could have done it once. And here's the other thing. Like, so the fire, one of our issues, like towards the end, so you have to keep the streets clear. And so the vendors have to keep their space within where the parking spaces are marked off. And inevitably, there'll be one or two restaurants, and it was always the same restaurants. I'm not going to mention their name. They would be offended. They would go over this line.
They pushed the envelope.
They would push. No, they would go over the line. Not push the envelope. They went. They went over the envelope. Okay. So, the fire department is like looking to us and saying, we have to be able to get a fire truck down here.
Right.
They are in the road.
Right.
We can't run people over.
Right.
You are impeding. You would be impeding.
Exactly.
Now, they wanted us to be like
the police people.
The policing it. And, right. And my theory was, why don't you make this very simple and say the fire department guy that's walking the street and taking these notes anyway writes a ticket? Because every restaurant have a manager that is going to be responsible for the block parties.
Yep.
They're going to be answered to.
Yep.
If their tables are in the street, and the fire department cites that, the fire department guy gets the manager on duty, writes them a ticket, and they cannot participate in the following block parties. That simple. Keep accountability, and then I guarantee you these repeat offenders would not be repeat offenders.
Right.
To me, it's that clear, that simple, right?
Right.
So, but whatever. When that stuff started happening, that's when I'm like, Peter, Vicky, and myself, we kind of like, okay, the next group can
yeah.
We started hearing criticisms instead of thank yous. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're like, you know, okay, someone else can
done.
Yeah, done and done. And you know, it's always the loudest. The people that criticize the loudest are the ones generally the people that do nothing in the community.
Nothing.
Except
nothing.
For just criticize what they would have done.
Right.
You know. So anyway.
Well, you shut them up real quick when you say, "Okay, you want to be a part of the next committee?"
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the best. That's the best move. Best move. James Eaves. Can we talk about the greatest invention since the wheel?
Yeah.
In the world.
The art calendar. And we had a discussion about it a little earlier. And he was going to take on musicians. And I said, you don't want to take on. That's the Peter and Vicky already do that.
What actually happened was a surprise. Because when we first started talking about it, it was like an arts calendar in our heads.
And we were drunk.
It was.
We weren't drunk.
Common theme.
We were enjoying adult beverages.
Bikini things.
It was
drunk and we were excited and stuff.
We were very excited.
Was this Saturday night?
Yeah, it was Saturday. It was
Sunday morning. I was making bacon.
Yeah,
you were making bacon. That's right.
So in both of our heads, I think it was like pictures, you know, photographs, fine arts, art openings,
right,
like that. So we announced it, and within 24 hours, I immediately started getting, you know, requests for the calendar that were music, performance, cinema, literature,
right,
book clubs, poetry readings, and art.
Right.
So we're expanding it, and except for the music, because Peter and Vicky take care of that. So we're just going to have a link to them, to their calendar.
Yeah. So the whole theory. So the backstory behind this is, people send me, you know, I get bazillion press releases, right? And I've gone to the point where I just forward the music listings, or I tell the people, send the music listings to Peter and Vicky. They handle the music listings, and Peter and Vicky have a calendar. They
do the
post for the people, but other community events and cultural art events, there is no possible way for me to go into the future and schedule these for certain dates. I have to clear my plate of what gets sent to me every single day, or it just piles up and gets to be a mess. So someone, like for example today, I got press releases for things in June and July. Now, I'm gonna post them tomorrow. That they're gonna show up on the blog tomorrow, and then they're gonna be poof, gone. But,
right.
So because I can't schedule that, I could schedule that far out, but we would never be able to see our own schedule for postings and stuff. So I've always wanted to have a calendar function on the blog, but I couldn't put it together and manage it. James stepped up to the plate, and he is totally doing it.
Attaboy.
A total attaboy.
Good job, right?
But we're going to have it sticky to the top of the blog. You can go to Cape Angie Clay events page anytime and see it.
And I'll never have a drink with you before noon again.
Again, because just, you know, volunteerism.
Sorry, I'm not promising
just,
that one.
Just saying.
But he opened up a can of whoop-ass on himself, and the floodgates have opened. But it is so brilliant, because type in, and you go directly to it, and it is right there for you at a glance. Like today's at the top, you just see, oh wow, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock,
you know,
3 o'clock.
You know my favorite feature?
What's that?
Is like I was using the little Apple calendar to track my events, and I get alerts on my phone. It says, oh, you got a thing in 2 hours, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. On that, when you click an event, on the bottom it says add to my calendar.
Right.
So I switched off the Apple calendar because I've never liked Apple products for that kind of like organizational.
Don't say that to Paul Morrison.
Because they always change it so much. But right. So I click on the, you know, add to my event, and it pops up, and I say, give me an alert the day before, and an alert an hour before, and boom. And now my phone, so events that I want to go to, so now I have one place I can go, I can see all the events that are available to me, and I can pick and choose, and I can create, because I have my own Google calendar for James, and my phone's telling me what to do, and which is makes me very happy. I don't like to think, I want my phone just to tell me what to do, and I will do what it says.
It is. So here's an example. We're not going to mention this organization, but we're going to talk about small-mindedness and why this is brilliant and why certain organizations fail. So we presented this, and we said to all these organizations, send your press releases to James, because we get between 40 and 80,000 views a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Gloucester Times is awesome. I always say people need to subscribe. You need to support the paper. They don't really have a calendar format on that. And
And
you have to dig into it to find it and stuff like that. All the different art associations in town on their own, they have their own newsletters that reach the same people. Say they have 1,000 people, say they have 2,000, whatever people that they reach. But it's people that they already probably know about their events to begin with. Good Morning Gloucester is this clearinghouse of all these people.
Right.
So James reached out to someone that is one of these organizations and said, oh, you should send me the press releases for this, and I'll add you into our calendar, which all these people are seeing. Well, we already have our own calendar.
Just sync it up.
So I went over to their calendar, and it's beautiful. It's graphically designed perfect. It's one of the smartest databases underneath that I've seen in a long time for calendars. It's a really nice calendar, and you can pick different types of events, you know, instructional or openings or whatever. But then when I looked at the actual content of the calendar, it was a members only calendar, and it looked like even the members themselves weren't posting to the calendars. The idea of their calendar was that people would just post their own event. They, you know, nobody had to manage the calendar. But nobody goes to that, nobody posts.
Well, this is what's going to happen, is that once this calendar becomes the biggest thing in the world, what they're going to do is they're going to turn around and want to be a part even more, and they're going to be very cooperative, and they're going to say, here, this is what we're going to do.
This happens
all the time.
Listen. On the interweb, right? This is an example. This is the perfect analogy. In the beginning, Yahoo was the search engine, right? There's AOL and Yahoo. That was the search engine. You basically, everybody used Yahoo for searches. So Yahoo would give you proprietary results, not the best results. Right. It would send you to who was paying the most for ads. There were terrible results. Google came along, stripped away all the crap around it, and just gave you a nice box. And when you pressed it, you were like, this is like a 95%, like you're gonna go right to the website that you wanna go to.
Right.
So they built a bigger, cleaner mousetrap.
Right.
And they made, in it, so where Yahoo put themselves first and is failing, and Google's eating their lunch and has become the number one search engine. This is what, so to try to be proprietary or not, like Good Morning Gloucester, when we do a story on someone, we hyperlink to that
right.
person's webpage. We're not trying to, like when we do something with a clamp. I'm not trying to not send people to the clam. Like, hey, we just did this interview with them. They're awesome people. Go check out the clam.
Right.
Right. We're not acting like Good Morning Gloucester operates in a vacuum and there's nothing else out there for you to look at.
Right.
And that's what makes it awesome. And just like this calendar, you know what I mean? Because here's another point. If Good Morning Gloucester was just scenes from Captain Joe and Sons, the lobster company, or if it was just Felicia's recipes, or if it was just Kim's butterfly photos, or if it was just art postings, or if it was just Peter and Vicky's music posts, any one of those is a factor of X. But when you combine all of those things together, it is so exponentially more powerful because you're collecting all these people that come to the blog that may not be interested in necessarily that, but they see your post and, oh, that particular one interests them. Say the Peter and Vicky's music post is 1 times X. Peter and Vicky's music post plus Kim Smith's posts is 1 times X times 4.
All right.
You know what I mean?
This math thing,
it's just exponential.
I can't do the algebra. Forget it. Keep going.
What I'm saying is it's exponentially more powerful. Any one of us, right? Any one of us, including myself, if we went off and did our own thing, if I kicked off all the contributors and just did my own thing, I am not just the portion that I am smaller, I'm infinitely smaller. If James just did his art calendar, he became really awesome, but he did it on his own and didn't have all of the other posts around it, it would be infinitely smaller.
That's how you make a pot.
Also, my art calendar, I wouldn't be able to develop my art calendar into all that it can be without the resources of input as well. It's not just me pushing information out.
It's all these parts. It's this web.
It's about the all the folks that Good Morning Gloucester brings into that community.
It can't exist without both sides of the equation.
Somebody comes in and looking for butterflies and say, oh, there's art here too. Well, I better send James some art information because I know my buddy's an artist and that goes on infinitely.
Absolutely. So there's that. This past week we also launched, I launched Cape Ann Eats, which is
amazing.
Like, amazing, awesome. You know, it's a restaurant submitting their own stuff. So all this stuff is trying to take pressure off of me. You know what I mean? Because I get these
pressures. Well, it makes it all in one place, and that makes sense. So, you know, because I go to Good Morning Gloucester a lot for different restaurant stuff. And so you have to scroll through all the pieces of the pie to get to one thing. But if you can just go to Cape Ann Eats and see all in one place, it makes it so much better. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
I'm doing it user, so those restaurants can directly post there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's so beautiful because that takes a layer off of me. Mm-hmm. So what happens is they post to Cape Ann Eats. It's a WordPress blog.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is hit reblog and it ports it over to Good Morning Gloucester.
Right.
And they can make their post as interesting and cool and media rich as they want it to be.
Or not.
Right, it's all on them.
They can throw a JPEG up there if they want.
They can throw a JPEG up there without a link back to their own Facebook page.
Which is Google useless.
We'll talk about Google useless in a second. It was really exciting. The studio, the rudder, this up until through April. We have to talk about this is the biggest restaurant
this weekend
of the week.
Well, yeah, when's May? Next week?
May's next week. It's coming up. Oh, gosh. This is the 25th. So you got another basically week. Right. Actually, I think up until Friday night.
Up till next Friday. This coming Friday.
Okay. You can eat half off any food at the Rudder or the studio.
But not sushi.
And that is a banana crazy awesome deal.
And they have
drinks too?
Did you see the...
No, not drinks.
It's not drinks.
That's the important question.
Well, we went on Friday night and I had the shrimp and scallops and it was a plate this big and it was $12.50.
Wow.
$12.50. Our whole bill for dinner with drinks and everything was $45.
Right, that's so like one person.
Right, and then so Tom left a $20 tip because I think you should tip on what the bill
was. Yeah, you should tip on the bill, not on the half off.
Absolutely. We did that. We did that yesterday too. We tipped on, what it would have been the whole bill.
And the studio added some new wines. They added some new drinks, cocktails. They redid their menu, so there is like, you know, the favorites from last year, but then they added
fried pickles
to it. Yeah, oh my god, I love the fried pickles. They were so good. So I'm just excited. I want to go there today.
You know what I would do? You know what made me think of fried pickles? I wish somebody would regularly have on their menu fried chicken. Is there anybody?
Like good old fried chicken. No one around here does that good old fried chicken.
If you go to Atlanta or someplace, it's on the menu. In Gloucester, it's not.
No.
Right.
You know something?
Guys on the side of the road.
In East Gloucester Square, the last vestiges of East Gloucester variety, East Gloucester Square, the variety store there, they had that canned frucky. Excuse me. Canned Chucky fried chicken. Canned Chucky. And he had the pressure. Excuse me. Sorry.
That's like that word Fuddruckers.
Yes. It was the real pressure cooker fried chicken, crispy fried chicken. And when me and Frank were young, we were like teenagers, we could ride our bikes over there from the wharf and go get.
I do a good, mean fried chicken.
I love to make it too, but it makes.
Craig Kimberly told me I had one of the best fried chickens he ever had. Do you know what that's
from the South, yeah.
I know. Do you know how amazing that is? So Craig, tell me that.
I can't believe that you did it without a cast iron skillet.
Well, no, I deep fry it. I deep fry it.
How is it deep enough to hold a chicken?
Trust me, you flip it.
Oh, no, I deep fry it.
You can't deep fry on a skillet.
Trust me.
Yes, you can.
Deep fry on a skillet. Deep fry means it's submerged. What kind of fucking skillet are you talking about?
You just make fried chicken.
You're talking about fried chicken. You're not talking about deep fried chicken. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Can we just talk about how I still don't have a cast iron skillet?
That's ridiculous.
Toby knows the spot to get it.
It's only $25.
You think I'd go grab one?
Yeah, it was a lot of work.
I can take it to the restaurant supply house.
Oh, yeah, they're talking about this.
Did you Google how to season it?
Bacon. Pound of bacon.
Pound of bacon.
Pound of bacon
and seasoned.
I use Crisco.
When I was a kid, that's all we had. We had the little ones, and then we had the regular, and then we had the deep fryers, which is like, you know, 8 inches or 6 inches deep.
We need to bow down and thank Kim Smith. Thank you, Kim Smith, for covering the Coast Guard cutter coming into town.
Oh, yeah, that was beautiful.
Thank you so much for doing that. I was away at the time. We can't thank him enough.
I was happy to get the email. It was a lot of fun. I did get myself locked out of my car because I raced. At first I raced to Eastern Point and it was so foggy I got a foggy picture. Then I raced to Smith's Cove and got some good pictures from there, then locked myself out and then ran to the Jodry State Fish Park to get photos from there.
My god.
But I got it. I did it.
So did you talk to any of those guys?
Oh yeah, I talked to Executive Officer Lieutenant McDonald.
McDonald, XO.
It's and the I didn't same know how to write it. Do you write XO or do you write executive officer?
XO.
You can write XO. Yeah.
With an X?
Yeah, with an X.
So it happens to be the same crew as what the Grand Isle was.
Right.
Now, is the ship physically almost identical
almost
to the Grand Isle?
Almost identical, they said. Oh, there's some slight improvements, but it's almost identical.
So they didn't get one of the new stealth kind of cutters that they've just started to release.
No.
And I wonder where they're using those. Probably down drug running or something.
Well, did you see the part of the post where I said what those decals are on the side?
Yeah.
Yes. Seven cocaine. The Key Largo has had seven cocaine seizures and three marijuana seizures. And XO McDonald said he thought it happened around Key West because that's where a lot of their drug busts happen.
There you go.
And after seeing that show Bloodlines, I can see why. So. That is an awesome show on Netflix.
Oh, I haven't ever seen that.
Oh, my God.
Which show?
Bloodlines.
Nicole Schraft, she was on her way down. Nicole Schraft, I guess she went down to
Virginia Beach.
For her vacation. While she went on the way, she captured a school bus that got burned to a crisp. Did you see it, the pictures?
No.
It was like the All that was left was like the window frames, like
bones, crumbling bones
of this of this
and
thing.
Nobody was hurt.
And everybody got off.
Everybody got off.
Wow.
And it was all kids, right? Teenagers.
I guess, yeah. So here's what happened. I'll give you the behind the scenes stuff. NBC News sends us, can we use this on NBC News? And Nicole's excited response, sure. Now, here's a lesson for you guys, what to do when the newspapers contact you if they want to use your stuff. If you're willing to let them use it, I always let them use my stuff. But what I say is, if you use it online, you need to hyperlink back to the story. You can use one of the photos out of the four or whatever, and I want you to hyperlink back to the post on Good Morning Gloucester.
Right.
And for the rest of the photos. I think that's only fair. They're not going to pay you. The news stations don't pay you anymore. They don't pay you. They never pay you anything.
Right.
So the least that they can do is hyperlink, not mention you, hyperlink back to you if you use it online. That's the protocol. Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. That's
so how do they find Nicole's post? Like, what do they do?
They follow GMG.
Oh.
Yeah, it got picked up and, you know.
Oh, no big deal.
Our post.
I'm only best in the world.
Yeah, they have people at the big media that do nothing but surf the web for information.
Right, well, right.
Like teams of people. And some of them will probably have a...
We're following.
Toolbar, they have a link to GMG.
Universal Hub follows. There's certain websites that follow us. That like all our posts get automatically ported to the web.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna say it again. Everybody, listen to me. Kim has done this. James, you figured it out. Please, I'm not sure if you did or not. Please go into your dashboard and, if you want to, link your Twitter account to your posts. So when you post on Good Morning Gloucester, it's going to go to Twitter and it's going to say via your Twitter name.
Right.
As opposed, if you don't do it, it says it comes from me. I would rather you get credited for the work that you do. Also, if you'd like, put in, Kim made a nice banner for herself. You put a banner if you want, or just put a line in there.
Post you might be neon and flashing.
Whatever you want. Make it like, make it 1,000 pixels. Yeah. So they have, people have to scroll 5,000 times down to get past your
I also link directly to Google Plus and LinkedIn too.
Yeah, me too.
For mine. But not Facebook, because
I'm Twitter. I have mine to Twitter.
I did those three because those are more kind of
whatever you want to do. I just want people, the contributors, to get credited for the work that they're doing, and they need to understand if you leave it blank, it goes under mine.
Under your
name. So there you go. But if people click through, I think it does say your name in the post. But if they don't click through on the Twitter timeline, it's going to say via Joey C. Okay. That being got out of
does
the way.
Does it get posted twice on Twitter? Once from the main and once from my Twitter?
No.
Or just says, just from once, now on?
That one. From now
James,
on.
James is under James.
It'll be under James, yep. And if you use, if anything Gloucester related, if you could put in the title of your post, hashtag Gloucester MA.
Gloucester MA, I gotta write that down because I was trying to figure
if
that
you,
out.
If you put that in your title of your post, because that's gonna automatically go to Twitter. And even if you go back in afterwards and take that out, or just make it Gloucester MA, whatever.
Maybe I should have put that with the Coast Guard one. Or maybe I did do it with the Coast Guard.
Or if you're mentioning someone that is, you know, is on Twitter, like if you do, like I went in and changed your thing, you put in at U.S. Coast Guard Northeast, USCG Northeast.
Right.
So when it gets posted, they're alerted that you posted. They're likely to see it and retweet it.
Yeah, thank you for doing that, because that got like reposted all over the place.
This guy knows social media. Listen to me. I will take you to the promised land. Brian O'Connor, very exciting. The post is going up tonight. Brian O'Connor's solar install happened on Earth Day. And he sent us the pictures.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
And,
at his house, right?
No, actually, it was in the clouds.
Sorry for sounding dumb. I don't know.
Brian O'Connor's solar install happened at his house, not at his place of business, not on my place, on his house. Brian O'Connor's solar install happened on Earth Day, no less.
Well, I'm excited to hear about that, because we have a roof that can take solar. So I'm very excited to hear about that.
Talk to him personally.
Yeah.
And ask him about how his experience was.
After the wedding, that's my plan. after the wedding.
Well, you can get started now because it takes like months, and they're not going to be there.
No, after the wedding.
Oh, there you go. Whatever. So it's 15% of houses qualify. If you qualify, it ends up being with, because they have this huge mass save, and everybody has this huge budget that they have to use up. So if you're part of the group of the small subset of people that can take solar, and you're not opposed to the way they look, it's like crazy money. Like it's in that kind of category where you're insane not to take advantage of it if you're not opposed to the look. I mean, some people I can understand, they don't want that on their roof. They have a, you know, whatever. I happen to think that they're pretty cool.
Me too.
So, especially on businesses, like I think they're really cool.
I think they just blend right in too. The profile is just, you know.
Sometimes.
You know,
How
do you think Brian's looks?
I think it looks fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I think when I used to be opposed to this stuff when the price was so expensive that you're just doing it to try to act. You know, I think there are a lot of, like, green posers. You know what I mean? Like, they don't even look at the numbers behind it. And, it could be you're losing money, but you just to say that you're green. Now solar has come down to a point where, with the incentives, they're paying. Like, 90% of his electricity bill is going to be paid. That's insane.
That's tremendous.
And, for me... Hmm. That's my priority, the money part, right? To other people, I understand, their number one thing would be environment stuff. All the power to them. You get both. You know what I mean? So.
Get it? All the power to you? Oh, that was so funny.
There you go.
So funny. I love that. Okay, I gotta go. I'm going to get my hair done.
I need you for one. Oh, we'll get plugged to Fatima's. You
can get your hair done at Fatima's. John's doing my hair.
Very
Fatima's.
Nice. But wait one second, because I need you to comment on this next topic.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yes, another post by Nicole. The old at a resort and you leave the towel out trick.
Oh, okay.
Where do you fall on that?
So,
because
to keep your spot.
To keep your spot,
yeah,
of course.
Placeholder, right?
Yes. You say of course. You don't think it's rude?
Yeah, but some of these people do. They put their they come in, they get up early in the morning. They go throw a towel on there, and then they go to Yugoslavia to have dinner.
Right. Oh no,
and
no, no! I would watch it. I'd be like, "Where's that person?" I'd watch it for an hour, hour and a half.
That's
and
what Nicole did, and they were gone all day long.
Yeah.
Put their towel down, then they were gone all day long.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
No, that's rude. That's rude.
The best five. Cheers. They held them all day long and didn't use them.
No. No, that's rude.
I just throw the towel on the ground and sit down.
Yeah.
If I see it there for an hour and it's not moving,
every year we generally go to a resort. And this happens. This is
because. Universal.
This is universal. This is not just specific to where she was. It happens in St. Lucia. It happens in Mexico. It happens. And all of these resorts, this happens. So. I don't know how a resort could possibly get around this anymore. It has to be self-policing. But my theory is, if we can't find a spot at the pool and there's a bunch of these things, I will watch for an hour. And if the people aren't there, I will just get their stuff and move it.
Exactly.
I don't care. That is absolutely ridiculous. And let them say something to me. I'm like...
Right.
I've been here for 2 hours. There's no seats, and you weren't here. Your towel is not even disturbed. It's not like it's wet. It's just folded here for 2 hours. It's not cool.
There's nothing. So there'd be nothing there but a towel.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time. A folded up towel. And maybe a book. The way we do. So you go to these resorts and you have to play the game. Yeah. So Kate and I we would go, we were in Mexico, right? And we would go. And after the first couple of days of this happening, you're like, okay, gotta play the game. So you get out, you go out there at 9 o'clock, you go for breakfast, and by 10 o'clock, you're at your spot and you take your seat.
Right.
And if you weren't there that early, and you're sitting there for a little bit, you're sitting at the bar and you see someone hasn't been there, then I'd go and move it. But
yeah, no, you don't do that.
Yeah,
you don't do what?
You don't just leave. You just don't take up a spot.
The practice is. Everywhere.
So an hour. That's your. So that should be. That's like the an hour. You don't see anybody in there an hour.
You can just move them off the chair.
In certain resorts, they have an attendant who keeps an eye on things. If people don't use it within an hour, that attendant moves their stuff off.
I've never seen anyone do that, especially
if it's just a towel.
So it makes it neutral. You got a new towel.
Just move it.
That's really good.
I would not think that that would be a hat. A towel and a hardback book or paperback book.
Right.
It's like everywhere that happens. Yeah, that's a good post. Oh, now if you have to go, you can go because this is gonna be a rant.
I have a 10:30 appointment. It's a rant.
You're gonna miss a rant now.
No, you can hear it when you.
You're not gonna miss it because I've ranted on about this 5,000 times.
All right,
before.
What is it? Probably if I already heard it.
It's the Google rant. It's the classic.
Oh, let me Google.
Rant.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to hear it.
No, because you just need to put "you are dumb."
The Google rant.
Yeah. Okay. It's just so Alicia's gonna leave now, but her response to anyone that asked me questions on Twitter or Facebook or where not on Facebook on the blog that could be that take longer to type out and submit to me than it would if you to then typing into Google.
Yes.
Alicia's response would be to those people just reply to them, "You are dumb."
Yes. And what's that, 11 characters? Y O U. Actually, you could make it U, then the letter R. D-U-M-B. Five characters.
No, plus spaces is 7.
That
would
be 6.
All right.
You are dumb.
Oh, 6. Okay,
there
sorry.
There you go.
And there you go.
Or,
and with that's that, it.
With that, exit stage left.
Actually, right. Exit stage right.
She just lit everybody on fire and she's gone now.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Good to see you.
See you later. Bye.
Bye. See you. We'll be around later. So, if anybody is a regular listener to the podcast, the same person that probably 4 or 5 podcasts ago, we went through the whole back and forth on Twitter. The person says to me, does Gloucester have a citywide yard sale? My response is, I don't know. Their response to me on Twitter, this is a whole conversation on Twitter, we should have one. Meaning, Joey C
should
organize city-wise. My response to her
is, have at it.
Have at it. When you get your press release together, I'd be happy to post it for you. Her response to me, where would I get the information on what city agency should I contact to get this? My response to her, I don't know. Why don't you contact the city hall and ask that question? Her response to me, great answer, ... not.
Right.
And at this point, I'm just like so frustrated. Like, the answers are there for you on the web. You need to answer. So the same person, we had the Cape Ann G. Clay Good Morning Gloucester photography show at Cape Ann G. Clay. James was awesome, and Anna hosted it for us. Fantastic. Kim did a post saying, for those of you that didn't make it, the show is still going, come on down, and linked to the post in this tweet. You click on the tweet as the flyer, which not in one place, but 2 places, has the address to Cape Ann G. Clay, which happens to be 20 Maplewood Ave. Exactly. How do I know this? Because I went there 5 times to make sure that I'm not freaking insane, right, and that it was indeed on the flyer, because I can't imagine that James would have put a flyer out there that didn't have the who, when,
what. You don't see anything anywhere with Cape Ann G. Clay logo without the address,
without the address,
number, website, phone, email.
So I knew. So just to double check. So it has a thing. So this person responds to Kim and says, "Where in Hades is Cape Ann G. Clay? I couldn't find it." I'm saying to myself, and she says the directions that this is to me on Twitter. I'm saying to myself, why can't she type this? She has an iPhone. Why can't she type it into Google and get her answer right away? If you type this into Google,
or Maps and iPhone, there's two different ways, or use Siri.
Press the button.
Three different ways to use it on an iPhone to find a place.
So. She said, so she gets snippy with me and saying, she goes, it's confusing in that neighborhood. I couldn't find it. Mm. And I'm saying,
even though we have a big 2-0 right on the building.
2-0 on the building. Both sides. Huge sign. It's Maplewood Ave. Maplewood Ave is top 10 busiest streets in Gloucester?
We have a 3-foot by 5-foot sign.
Top 10 busiest streets in Gloucester with the address?
Certainly busy.
If you go, I am personally guaranteeing you, if you type Cape Ann G. Clay into Google, there's going to be an option there. Directions too.
Right.
I will put any amount of money on it. So she says to me after I finally directions on let me Google this for you and email them and tweet them back to her.
Right.
I would have gone there had I had the directions, but because you didn't provide me with the directions, I didn't go, which sent me through the roof. Like the anger level at this point of was like beyond frustrating and anger. Like, you know, she's trying to put it on me that she didn't get there because we didn't provide enough information to her. Like, the only thing further that I could have done was go to her house or in her car, take her finger and type the words into Google myself, or press the button on the iPhone button, hold it down, and say the words, directions to Cape Angie Clay, Gloucester, Mass.
Or you could have hired a limo and had to send it over and had to just pick her up and bring her there and drop her back there.
Okay.
Or I could have done that.
So, that's a nice topic. Happening?
Yep.
Can you sense my frustration? Can you sense my frustration?
Yeah, she knows how to ride the Joey train, that woman, though.
So the so after this...
She gets on Twitter and says, I think I'm going to ride the Joey train. And I'm going to ask him a couple of dumb questions, and we'll see how long it takes him to just give up.
That led me to... So my frustration, I'm at 100 out of 100 on the frustration level.
Mm-hmm.
And then it struck me after going back and forth probably 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
The answer, there's a very good possibility that she was trolling me. Do you know what trolling means? You look at me quizzically, no. Kim Smith. Does anybody, know what trolling
means? I understand.
It's riding the drug
This would be a definition of Poe, actually, where she's faking stupid. And
right.
Knowing that it aggravates me that people that could type in the question.
Those kind of crazy response.
James's description of the Joey train, is perfect.
Right, but for people like Kim Smith, people that didn't understand that term, it's an internet term. Oh. Trolling is in relation to the internet. Mm-hmm. Trolling is baiting someone into driving them crazy and getting amusement from it.
In this case, it would be backing up the coal truck and shoveling that coal into that train so it's the Joey train.
Red hot.
The reason why Kim can get it is there isn't a mean spirited bone in her body. That's why
I see it
Kim
now.
Doesn't know that.
Right, but absolutely maddening.
Right.
Maddening is the most accurate word that I can get at this point. There are going to be old people that don't get it, and I get that. This person is not an old person.
Right, this is millennium kind of human being.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Should know how to Google.
Do we have time for a funny story? Because I can just tell you that when Olivia was a little baby, and we would have her high chair up to the table. And she would put her feet on the table. And I was like, and she was my first child, and I was like, oh my God, she's putting her feet on the table. And I'd be like, Olivia, don't put your feet on the table. And my husband would go, you know why she does it, honey? Because you put on this big show every time she does it.
That's right.
She was trolling you at a young age.
She was a troller from the beginning.
We should also mention that Super K, we got the invitation for the wedding this summer, and Super K said it is the most unique, beautiful, cool, specific for this location wedding invitation she's ever got. So.
Oh, can you also tell Kate that the little return card is a painting by Tom.
Oh.
It's the little painting of Lighthouse Beach by Tom.
Are you going to put that on the blog so people could see?
Yeah.
Tom,
I have to ask
Kim's husband, Tom, is like, if you go into their house, she's like, she starts pointing things out like that Tom has done. And like the most wildly creative guy, like painting in different styles of painting, musician, editor. Like, the guy wears so many creative hats, it's, like, over the top.
He's ghostwriting 2 books, and they're detective novels, and he couldn't be, like somebody's paying him to write detective novels. He's so happy about it.
Wait, what are we saying? So it's gonna, these things are gonna end up in the world under someone else's name, and he's completely writing them?
I know, and I'm like, are you okay with that? Like, and he's totally okay with it.
Because they have a name now, and they like, they just don't feel like doing the work. They know they have a publisher. They know they're gonna sell anyway. Wow, how freaking awesome is that?
Yeah, that's a good living, huh?
That's a good living. I mean, I'm not talking about for Tom. Screw that. Right. I'm talking about for the guy just sitting back. It's got the name.
He's just writing a book for him. He hands it in.
He knows he has a guarantee for $1 million.
He's probably got an assistant.
Right, and Tom, and he pays Tom $20,000 or something.
Right. Well, they don't. They're not writers. They might have another career that can pay for Tom's.
God Almighty in heaven! That is so awesome.
So Tom is very happy because he, you know. He loves editing, but, you know, ghostwriting detective stories is pretty awesome. So I'll ask Olivia if I can post the invitation.
That might be a little invasive to her privacy. We'll see. I bet she'll be happy, though.
Yeah.
Girl Scout cookies. Who's got them in their house?
Not me. I had them in my house.
They don't last.
Did you have them at one point this year?
Oh, sure.
This year?
Somebody please hook me up with a Girl Scout, please.
Well, they're around, but... Okay, going to the next phase of the questioning. Your favorite Girl Scout flavor?
Lemon and Samoas.
The minty one.
They don't call them Samoas anymore because it's not politically correct. You got to call them Caramel Delights.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The Samoans changed a lot.
I go with the lemon.
You go with the lemon. Okay. How about you?
The minty.
I didn't know there was a lemon. I can't think.
There's like chocolate.
Yeah, the little lemon on the bottom.
Oh, really?
Sort of creamy lemon on the bottom with a sugar cookie on top.
Yeah, those are good.
You flip them open, you stick two in your mouth. They're awesome.
Yeah. There you go.
The chocolate minty ones.
Chocolate minty?
Well, my story goes deeper than that because the girl across the street from us for years was a Girl Scout, and she would wait until she saw my car in the driveway.
Sprint.
And she would come over and knock then because... If Anna answered the door, Anna would buy a regular amount of, like a human regular amount of Girl Scout cookies, like a reasonable human regular amount.
Three or four boxes.
But if I answered the door,
case.
The girl could win the award, win the prize, take it to the next level, because I would buy cases of chocolate chip cookies. She actually made a point, this little girl made a point to tell the next little girl in the neighborhood that was a Girl Scout that you should go to that guy's house when the BMW's in the driveway because he buys a lot of chocolate and a lot of cookies. And so I can't answer a favorite because I'll eat all of them. And I get them and they're all gone in 2 days. I mean, I eat all of them. Except for peanut butter.
My favorite cookie of any of those.
Girl Scout cookie, please.
Pecan sandies.
Oh, good one.
What's your favorite?
I was going to say Samoas, but I had to write it out because I always forget. Caramel Delights, formerly known as Samoas, and I don't think anything is close in my opinion. And the and I stopped buying them. My mother got them, so I'm at my mom's house a lot of time, and. If I open up a box of Samoas, it's lights out. They're going through the whole box. And so I try not to get the Girl Scout cookies because...
You're going
to
eat them all.
Well, there's only about 6 ounces of food in one of those boxes. It's not like the boxes are a pound of food.
Oh.
It's like they're like 6 ounces. You get like... It's all like... You get like four cookies per row and...
Right.
I find it interesting that there's five of us in the room right now. And we have five different... favorites right there.
Yeah, true.
Right, because mint is mine.
Yeah.
I'm really psyched that the Girl Scouts are still doing their thing and raising money the old-fashioned way instead of sending their parents out to solicit people for money.
And whenever they have the cookie drive, they're always out in front of all the grocery stores.
Huh?
Whenever they have the cookie drives, they're always out in front of the grocery stores.
Yeah, yeah. For you to say that you haven't come across a Girl Scout.
No, I haven't.
It's interesting.
Yeah, unfortunately.
There you go.
They don't come knocking on the door.
Everybody's going to be on Plum Street. There's going to have mass
riots on Plum Street. The old girl and the new girl, I had a year left where I didn't have Girl Scout cookies.
Well, we always had them.
I ordered them for my niece in Virginia.
We always had them, and then the kids and everything, but we haven't had any recently. So now they know, though, a potential client.
There you go. All right, I'm going to finish.
I think I can thank James for having, because I get hit up right away, And it's probably because James is just down the street.
Pointing.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
We get nailed every year.
Yeah.
And the Benjamins have to come out.
The Benjamins. Just like dollar bill. You're like Kenny Powers.
We go, Big money.
Same thing. If I'm ordering, just got to have a...
So how many? Is there's too many.
Eight
boxes?
The short story is that, about 6-8 years ago, the cookies sort of took a hit because they switched to vegetable oil, sort of like McDonald's French fries.
Okay.
And those caramel delights weren't so good. They were sort of waxy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I kind of,
backed off.
Went off them a little bit. But now they somehow, I don't know if it's that they're putting Crisco or butter
GMO
in there.
Cookies.
Well. Or they switched over to GMO. But they're so much better now. They're back to the 70s where they taste really buttery. So when I buy them, I have to get two of each in order to test.
Like 18 boxes? Isn't that like... Damn! That's insane!
Maybe 20.
Lightweight.
That would be an interesting segue if you want to go to another subject, but the point he just raised. Restaurant.
What, using vegetable oil as opposed to...
Well, I can tell you that one of the places I've been to since the last podcast, for example, was Maria's, which I love. I love the thin crust pizza. But when I go there, the group of friends, we always order a bunch of apps that are fried, whether it be fried onion rings or whatever, because Maria's uses lard. And wow. I will tell you
the huge difference.
Yeah, well, I'm not eating French fries every day, right. Or fried onion rings every day. Yeah. I'm telling you, huge difference. Do you want to have something fried? Go to Maria's.
Now the clam joints, do they use lard or do they use?
I don't know. I can't answer that, but I can tell you they use lard there, and part of the reason why the onion rings taste better than they do anywhere else or a lot of other places. It's because of what they're frying it in.
I'm jonesing for Maria's pizza right now.
Yeah, they totally great stuff.
Maria's pizza. Okay.
If you want the answer on that one, in 1973, all the fry leaders switched over to vegetable oil. Big yellow tub of vegetable oil. Because I worked in the Cap'n Kid. I filled them up.
Oh, down
I filtered
which hole?
Right. Yeah. And the problem was, the Cap'n Kid would open on June 1st, and our fries
right
and our crabs, they sucked for about 3 weeks. You had to wait until the fry later
got a little burnt up,
a little burnt up, because we never changed the oil. We filtered it, and it always went back in. Oh. In fact, we had two fry laters, one for all the fish and clams, and one for the French fries. But in order to get the French fries to be super tasty, you'd have to throw a couple of clams over there and let them sink to the bottom and just burn the shit. And they would have that extra little piquant taste of clam on your French fries.
That's interesting. I always like clam on my French fry. It's always nice. I like to have a little clam on my French fry.
I'm not touching that one.
No, the flavors are fantastic.
Yeah, here we go.
No.
Here we go.
I'm just saying.
I ain't touching that one.
I'm just saying. Okay, so
Joey likes clam on his French fries.
That flavor. No, I'm just saying, when you let the clam drop down and burn up a little bit,
it gives that extra
flavor. So
when I said that, I really should have used my John Wayne voice, and then they would have understood.
So
clam on my French fries.
We're gonna
pilgrim.
Does anybody have anything in closing? Because
I was going to talk about Passports has the community dinners, and this Tuesday night and the following Tuesday night is for the brand new Cape Ann Special Olympics team.
Both nights?
Both nights. This Tuesday night and next Tuesday night, because he did YMCA two nights in a row too. And he's doing two nights for the new Cape Ann Special Olympics. So before this year, they're running track and field at the high school right now as we speak, as a matter of fact.
That's awesome.
They're doing track and field, they're going to do soccer, and they're going to do basketball. So soccer is in the fall and basketball.
Is he going to run those through the summer? Because that's such a giveaway. Like, when he would normally be busy anyway,
those meals, he charged $15 for a three-course meal.
phenomenal.
And it's like it's not pre-co, like it's not extremely lucrative for him.
He's giving it away.
It's definitely a community service. Cause I those meals were unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, just unbelievable.
So I was speaking to Alicia, and she had a recommendation that I'll find out from Eric what the specials are going to be, because she thinks if people go to the blog and see exactly what the menu is going
to
be,
then
instead
drive
of
more
just
traffic
like,
to the door.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I'm not sure if I'm going to like it, but if you can see it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Anything else? Anybody else? All right. I want to close by just highlighting some of the features that we added this week. We added the Cape Ann Eats postings, where restaurants can submit their things to Cape Ann Eats. We added James' awesome Cape Ann Arts Calendar. So anybody that has an artist, a gallery owner, a community event that has to do with arts, go to this. There's a link right at the top of the page in the header. It says Cape Ann Arts Calendar. There's information on where you can submit your link. And I think it's just...
And how to submit the link.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that. He wants it in text form.
Text in the email and look. See the sticky at the top to see
the
information that needs to be...
It's very
included.
Simple.
Otherwise, it won't make it onto the calendar. If I don't have a start time and an end time,
yep.
I recommend a link back to more information, but that's up to you.
If you want to be smart. And you want people to actually show up.
If you want to be Google, if you want to be recognized on the web at all in any way, shape, or form, you don't want to be Google useless.
Google is our friend.
Yes.
And me and James are going to work on some nice new banners for the top post that are going to link you to
all this cool, wonderful stuff.
So you can get right to it, including the podcast. So there you go, another Gloucestercast. Thank you guys for coming. It's been a lot of fun today. It's good to be back. We're going to do a couple this week, so I hope you guys can make it back for a couple more.
That's a great topic.
Yeah. Boom. Another one.